Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Heavenly Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what it is you have to say to us, and that we may go forth eager to serve you. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning, I will be talking about Psalm 84 within my sermon, but I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2 and 8 through 16. Please stand in honor of God's word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as of the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I'm sure we all remember that significant line from the 1939 movie, The Wizard of Oz. Let me ask you something this morning. Have any of you ever been homesick? For scouts, maybe it was the first time you went on an overnight camping trip. Any of you were homesick then? Yeah, some of you are willing to admit it. Yeah, I bet there's a lot more of you that would be willing to admit it too, because the first time we're away from home, a lot of times we get homesick. Years ago, actually many, many years ago, when I was 7 years old, my cousin David and his wife Jenny, they were stationed in New Jersey. He was in the Air Force, and they didn't have any children at the time, and they invited me to come to their house for the summer. And I excitedly went. I thought it was great, but then something happened. You know that sick feeling in your stomach? Then there's the tears, and I just want to go home. I believe it began when my cousin visited his brother Donnie, and we all went over to his house, and the family was eating dinner, and he was making his kids eat peas. And I absolutely hated peas as a child, and I think that's when it started, because I thought, oh my, are they going to force me to eat peas? And I got just almost sick just thinking about that. And all I wanted to do was to go back home where I knew I did not need to eat peas. And I had, I mean, it went on for weeks. I cried and cried, just get me home, get me home. Well, today's scripture speaks of the faithful ones of God. It's almost like a roll call as you read this chapter of all the faithful of God. And they are seeking a homeland. Verses 13 and 14 tell us, all of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. What exactly does that mean to us? The 11th chapter of Hebrews does give that whole list of the faithful, but today's passage focuses upon Abraham. Abraham was the faithful one who had made an incredible, who had an incredible choice to make. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And the Lord promises Abraham that he will make him a great nation, he will bless him, he will make his name great, and he will be a blessing. The Lord will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you remember how old Abraham was when he received that word? 75 years old. So those of you that are 75 or younger, just remember that God's not finished with you yet. And when the promise was fulfilled of the birth of a son to Sarah, Sarah was the ripe old age of 90, and Abraham was 100. Now, just imagine, those of you, we have some folks in their 90s here. Just imagine you're going to have a baby at your age. And just imagine you're going to be a dad at 100 years of age. But remember the words, all these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way, make it clear they are seeking a homeland. A stranger and a foreigner seeking a homeland. We certainly know that Abraham journeyed quite a bit. There's something clear about his life and the seeking of the homeland. Several years ago, I attended a seminar entitled Longing for a Homeland, and it was led by Lynn Anderson, not the singer, but actually a pastor and speaker. And for those of you that know Max Lucado, he's written lots and lots of Christian material, and he's a pastor in Texas, I believe. In any case, this was Max Lucado's pastor, Lynn Anderson. And he had us for nearly 3 days on this journey. And I think some of us were wondering, where on earth is he taking us? But you know what? That seminar still sticks in my mind to this day. Because he told us, home is not a place, home is not a people, and home is not a persona. Home is not a place. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans. He left that place one would call his home. How many of you have ever left home and have tried to go back? You know, I grew up in Pittsburgh on Beissner Avenue, 203 Beissner Avenue. And my mother, after my father died, sold the house. And I happened to be in that neighborhood years later, visiting, saw my old neighbor out on the porch and was up talking to them. And he said, well, you know, there's people that bought your mom and dad's house. It had been a rental. And you know what happens a lot of times to rentals. It was really run down after my parents had worked so hard all those years to be able to buy this little house and took such good care of it. And then they had spray painted the back wall. The wall was coming down. The awnings were kind of hanging over. I mean, it was just sad. Well, this young couple, who one grew up at the top of the street, one grew up at the bottom of that same street, bought our house, and they were so excited, and they invited me to come in because they pulled in the driveway, and my neighbor said, why don't you, see if they'll, and he called over to them, and she grew up there. So I went in to the house that I grew up, and it looked a lot smaller than when I lived there. That it was tiny. I mean, it was a two-bedroom house, one bathroom, tiny living room, dining room, and kitchen. But they were doing some wonderful things to restore that home. And there was some kind of a joy within me to see a young couple take that house. And they had questions like, what's that pole sticking up out of the ground up in the backyard? And I said, well, it's a flagpole. A flagpole? What has a cap on it? We thought it was some gas line. I said, no, that was to keep the rust out. And so my dad had it capped. And there were questions like that that they had no idea. They were searching what on earth this thing was sticking up out of the ground. But there is something about going back home. It's never the same when you return back to where you grew up. For some of you, your house may not even be there anymore. Well, that longing for home is not found in a place. And that longing for home is not found in a people. Abraham left his people and his father's household. He had his immediate family with him, but he had left his roots behind. And yet home is not a people, because no human being can fill that longing for home deep with inside of us, because only the Lord can fill it. And home is not a persona. It is not about visibility, accomplishment, or personal image. Abraham certainly made mistakes, but his life was God-centered. He sought to obey the Lord and follow him. Scripture says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This wasn't about Abraham seeking an image for himself. It was about a total dependence upon the Lord. So if home is not a place, and home is not a people, and home is not a persona, then what is home? And here's what the scriptures tell us. In verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Home is where God is and where God's people are. That is home. Psalm 84, wonderful scripture. Listen to these words. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. And then this verse is wonderful. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper, in other words, the lowest position in the house of my God, than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Psalm 27 tells us, one thing I asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. In that wonderful Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we draw near to the Lord, that is when we are at home. St. Augustine has said, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." C.S. Lewis has said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." And Blaise Pascal says, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus." As we develop that intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, a desire to spend time with Him, to know that He loves us, to know that He forgives us, to know that He transforms us, to know that He longs to spend time with us. And as we grow in His Word, our homesickness seems to fade away. And we find ourselves very much at home. And we find ourselves much like Abraham, seeking for that homeland, a better country, a heavenly one. Many years ago in England, a circus elephant named Bozo was very popular with the public. Children especially loved to crowd around his cage and throw him peanuts. Then one day, there was a sudden change in the elephant's personality. Several times, he tried to kill his keeper, and when the children came near the cage, he would charge toward them as if wanting to trample them to death. It was obvious he would have to be destroyed. The circus owner, who was a greedy and crude man, decided to stage a public execution of the animal. And in this way, he could sell tickets and try to recoup some of the cost of losing such a valuable piece of property. The day came, and a huge circus tent was packed. Bozo, in his cage, was in the center ring. Nearby stood a firing squad with high-powered rifles. The manager, standing near the cage, was about ready to give the signal to fire when out of the crowd came a short, inconspicuous man in a brown derby hat. "There is no need for this," he told the manager quietly. The manager brushed him aside. "He's a bad elephant. He must die before he kills someone." "You are wrong," insisted the man. "Give me 2 minutes in the cage alone with him, and I will prove you wrong." The manager turned and stared in amazement. "You will be killed," he said. "I don't think so," said the man. "Do I have your permission?" The manager, being the kind of man he was not one to pass up such a dramatic spectacle. Even if the man were killed, the publicity alone, he thought, would be worth millions. "All right," he said. "But first you will sign a release absolving the circus of all responsibility." The small man signed the paper. As he removed his coat and hat, preparing to enter the cage, the manager told the people what was about to happen, and a hush fell over the crowd. The door to the cage was unlocked. The man stepped inside. Then the door was locked behind him. At the sight of this stranger in his cage, the elephant threw back his trunk, let out a mighty roar, then bent his head, preparing to charge. The man stood quiet, still, a faint smile on his face, as he began to talk to the animal. The audience was so quiet that those nearest the cage could hear the man talking, but they couldn't make out the words. He seemed to be speaking some foreign language. Slowly, as the man continued to talk, the elephant raised his head. Then the crowd heard an almost piteous cry from the elephant as his enormous head began to sway gently from side to side. Smiling, the man walked confidently to the animal and began to stroke the long trunk. All aggression seemed suddenly to have been drained from the elephant. Docile as a pup, now he wound his trunk around the man's waist, and the two walked slowly around the ring. The astounded audience could bear the silence no longer and broke out into cheers and clapping. After a while, the man bade farewell to the elephant and left the cage. "He'll be all right now," he told the manager. "You see, he's an Indian elephant, and none of you spoke his language, Hindustani. I would advise you to get someone around here who speaks Hindustani. He was just homesick." And with that, the little man put on his coat and hat and left. Are you homesick? I mean, spiritually homesick. Are you longing for something deep down within your soul that nothing else seems to fulfill? Jesus Christ is speaking our language. He has the answer for homesickness. He lets us know that the restlessness deep within our hearts, that sense of feeling alone, even when you're in a crowded room, that longing for something more and you don't know what it is, that longing for home, that settled deep down feeling of peace and presence, it will never be fulfilled until we look to Jesus and we build a relationship with him and we nourish that relationship. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And he tells us, "My joy might be in you," and that joy might be complete. "And peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." For we can be home with Jesus right now. He can take away that deep ache within us. He can give us peace and joy and fulfillment right here and now. He can give us a purpose for living every single day. And he has also prepared a place for us. One day when we take our last breath, a new home. Jesus himself tells us that he goes and prepares a place for each one of us. A heavenly home. A home where we will be with him forever in eternity. And we truly can say, as a follower of Jesus Christ, there is no place like home. There is no place like home. Home with God and God's people. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for the wonderful gift of home that you give to us in God alone, in you, Lord, alone. You give us that sense of home. And you've actually prepared a home for us when we leave this earth. But you don't leave us homeless right now. And you don't leave us homesick right now. And we thank you that you filled us up inside with your presence and your peace and your joy when we say yes to Jesus in our daily lives. Help us to hope and long for that eternal homeland one day that we will see when we breathe our last breath. But in the meantime, Lord, fill us up. Make us at home in your presence. Here and now, for we ask and we pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord.